Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I am going to play a song for you all, and you have to bear with us because we're having some technical difficulties today on the show, actually accessing our studio. So I just wanted to let everyone know that's out there listening. You know, we're having some problems right now. And we were emailed that we might have some problems. So we want to let the audience know that if you are trying to call in, please continue to keep trying. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song for you, and then we're going to try to find out what is going on with the actual show itself and why we are having difficulty signing into our studio. So thank you again for calling in to the show, and we appreciate all of the things that you guys have done to support us. We have a special show in store for you all right now, and we just want to say thanks for everything that you've done to help us to get where we are right now. The program has been a success, and we have a listening audience now of almost 6,000 people, so things are really going very, very well, and we want you to keep passing the word out to everyone and letting them know, you know, that we are here to bring some open dialogue to those that are in the Hebrew Israelite community. So we thank you again for everything that you've done. And we're going to put the song on for you guys so that you can, for your listening pleasure. Again, if you're trying to log into the show and you're having problems, please bear with us. We're going to come back on as soon as we can. Shalom, shalom. Thanks. Just one moment, please. Hold one moment. We want to thank you guys for the show. I mean, for the tuning into the show. We're having some technical difficulties right now trying to actually access our studio. Something's going on with the Blog Talk Show right now, and I am going to do my best to try to get us back on the show. If you guys could just bear with us, I'm going to contact the people involved, and we're going to get the show going. So I'm going to log out and try to contact who I need to so that we can have access to our show. Sorry for the inconvenience. Please hold on. We should be back ready and running in about 5 to 10 minutes. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, shalom, everyone. If you can hear me, I am still calling into the show. We have some technical difficulties going on. I'm going to try to get Sister Kavah on the line real quick, and we're going to go from there. Hold on just one moment, please, everybody. I'm going to get her on the line, and we're going to have the show from here. Sorry for the inconvenience. We're having some technical difficulties. Okay, Kavah, we're on the show. We're actually on the show, on live, on the phone. So we didn't want to just leave everyone hanging. We wanted to let everyone know we're having some technical difficulties right now, actually with the show and trying to get our studio board up. They sent me an email today saying that that they were having some trouble and they were working on it, and I didn't think that it would affect our show. But we still want you guys in the listening audience to be listening, so we don't really want any downtime. Kavah, if you wanted to go ahead with the prayer and do whatever, you know, we were going to do.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, everyone. This is Sister Kavah, and thank you for calling into the show, and thank you for, your faithful participation in the show. It would not be what it is without everyone who has been calling in. So we praise Yah for you, and we thank him, thank them for you. I'm going to do a brief prayer, and then I'm also going to read a scripture. So today I'm going to pray now. Father, we thank you for your goodness upon us today. We thank you for this show. We thank you, Father, that even in the midst of what Hashatan is trying to do, trying to stop, trying to impede, we thank you that we, in the midst of this, still are triumphant through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh and through the power of Yahuwah. We just ask you, Father, that you will bless the listening audience and that their families and that their lives will be changed by the words that come out of our mouth, which is a message from you. And we just thank you now in the name of Yahweh Eloheinu. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Again, we'd like to let everyone know that we're having some problems actually accessing our studio. So what we're doing is we're going to do the show. I'm sure you can still call in and hear the show. Whether or not you're able to actually participate in the show, we are glad that those who have taken the time to call in has called in, and we are still going to try to do everything we can to fix it where you can actually ask questions and give your comments on the different topics that we're having today. Kavah, did you want to say anything? Or?
Well, you know, it's so much that can be talked about today. Pretty much I was really, really, really looking forward to our audience and hearing from them, with it being such an open show today, and hearing their thoughts and hearing about what it is that they want to bring to the table is so important, because this is about them, it's about the nation, it's about gathering up a people through being able to have open dialogue and coming and conversing with maturity. So I really don't have much to say other than, you know, thank the audience and I can tell you some good things that have happened in a part of the nation of Israel, the United Nation of Israel, that is being set in place and has been set in place for our people to be able to come out of a system that has held in captivity of our mind, captivity of our finances, and in captivity of every arena of our lives. So there's a lot of good things that's going on with the building of the nation of United Nation of Israel. So that's what I want to say, Yana.
Okay. And you know what I was thinking, and we may have another solution to this problem as long as we're on the show and as long as we're in the air, because the studio is down. We could have the people call into a conference call, and then we can bridge the people in through the conference call. You want to try something like that?
That will be beautiful. Yes, let's try that.
Okay, well, let me see. You got a conference call available. Do you have a number we can use, or?
You know what? Let me see. I may have an old one. Let me look and see.
So all of you are that are listening, that are in the listening audience, we cannot, and I repeat, we cannot access our studio, which means we cannot open your mics up for you to give a comment, but we are still on the air. We are still being taped. And we want to be able to give a conference number for everyone to call into the conference call so that we can still have the comments and for everyone to give a comment or whatever so that we can do this thing appropriately, because this topic that we were going to do today was really, really important, and we really didn't want to have to just talk among ourselves, because it's important to get feedback from the nation, from the people that are in our nation. So
I have a number, but let me put you on hold and dial that number through my phone, and let me see how that is all set up right quick, okay?
Okay, that'll work. And while everyone is looking for, while she's getting all that set up for us to be able to talk, because we still have 2 hours where we can really bring this thing together, we just want to thank everyone for participating in our show, taking the time out of your day, and really, really participating in our show. And being there for us as you all have been. It is truly an honor to be able to talk and to be heard and to give our opinions and our thoughts and to have a family that we can kind of talk to, you know, because family don't always get along, but we still family. You know, blood is thicker than mud, and we just believe in loving on each other. You know, we have a show that has Messianic and non-Messianic alike, And it's a beautiful thing. We have male and female, and it's a beautiful thing. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful that we learn how to love each other and embrace each other and be there for each other. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for all of your help and all of your participation. And for you guys that are listening, now when you go back to archive this show, there's going to be some downtime, maybe about 10 minutes, where I tried to go and access the help desk to find out what was wrong, but they sent me to an area where everyone has not been able to access their show today. So this is a problem that we're having. We're going to provide you with a conference number, or you can call into the conference number, and then we can all talk on the conference line, because we have to be able to improvise in this day and time, because everything is built on technology, and sometimes this stuff just does not work. So, you know, we're improvising and trying to make some things happen on that end. So, again, some things that are happening. Let me give you a few updates on what's going on. The 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address, we are urging people to please register, because what we've done is we have separated according to region and given different people so many tickets to sell. We only can have 300 people at one time for this event, and the tickets are being distributed right now to be sold. We don't want to leave anyone out. If you're a Moray, if you have a Knesset, whatever it is that you have, we want to include you, because now we've included the Moors, and we've included the Muslims, and we've included the Christians. The unconscious Israel has been included, and that means the seats are going to be limited. We have some great people that are coming, that are going to provide some great information for us as a nation. The young man who gave his testimony, we are inviting him to come, Noble Yehuda Ben, to come and to actually give his testimony and to show you just what God is doing.
Okay, so Shalom, Yaina?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. Is okay, here's the number that they can call in, the conference line they can call in, and what I'm going to do is call in that number, and then that way everybody will still be on the air because I'm connected to you, and we can try to make this work.
All right, that'll work. So give us the number and the access code because I'm going to stay online with you so I don't have to dial anything. So what's the conference call number and the access code?
The conference call number is 610-214-0000.
Uh-huh.
And the call access code is 704-278-pound.
Okay. So if you guys would please hang up from the studio, because the studio is not working. They are not giving us access to the studio. Would you all please hang up and call the conference number, and once you call the conference number, she'll give you the access number, and we'll all be on the line together, and that way we can all talk together as a family. Can you give them the number one more time, please?
Yes, I can. 610-214-0000, and the access code is 704-278-pound.
Great. Wonderful. So we'll be waiting for you all to call, and in the meantime, we're gonna kind of talk about some things, and we're going to ask that you all call into the conference line.
Okay. I'm gonna switch over now because I gotta be able to pull everybody in. Okay.
Okay, that'll work. And we're asking everybody to call into the conference line again. The conference line number is area code 610-214-0000, and the access code is 704-278-POUND. If you can dial into that number right now, we would really appreciate it because the studio for the Blog Talk Radio show is down. No one has been able to access it for the whole day. And we all want to talk today. We have some important things we want to talk about, and we need you to do that. We're sorry for the inconvenience. But if you could just do that, we would greatly appreciate it. And we're going to announce this all throughout the whole show that everyone that wants to participate in the show, because the studio board is down and I cannot access the board by the Internet, we're asking you to please call into the conference line. The conference line is area code 610-214-0000, and the access code is 704-278-POUND. So we're waiting for you. Like I said, we have 2 hours. We can go into overtime, and we wanted to talk today about a specific topic and about something pertaining to the nation and us building the nation, and we want to get into some of the real serious issues of what this is going to involve as we build a nation and we build families and we build relationships. So we're waiting on Kavad to conference us all in on one phone line. We're going to do this over the phone today because, again, the studio dashboard is down. We cannot access the dashboard today. There's some technical difficulties going on, but we are still being taped and we are still connected to Blog Talk Radio Show where they are taping the show. So please hang up from the 718 number that you dialed into the studio and dial the conference line. The conference line phone number is area code 610-214-0000, and the access code is 704-278-POUND. All right. So one of the topics that we were going to deal with today was relationship between men and women. We were going to deal with some marital issues today. We were going to deal with the topic of love today. We're going to deal with abuse today. We're going to deal with a whole lot of issues today dealing with relationship between the male and the female. We kind of went into a spiritual thing last week, and, you know, we felt like we had to do that. But right now we want to just talk about us. We want to talk about love. We want to talk about marriage. We want to talk about courtship. We want to talk about relationships. And also we want to talk about polygamy. That's going to be one of the topics for today. And the Hebrew Israelite community as a whole. And some people believe in it, some people don't. Some people live it, some people don't, and that's fine. We're not here to tear anyone down for what they believe or have anything negative to say about what they believe. But what we do want to do is give everyone an opportunity to express exactly what they feel, you know, and whether they're pro for it or nay against it or whatever, you know, and because we're putting some things together in our nation so that we can provide everyone with the proper information that they need so that we can start performing marriages and having and start operating as a nation. I mean, basically, that's what we're doing. We're operating as a nation, and we just trying to make sure that we cover all the bases. So that's basically what's going on. The 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address, we need you guys to register, please, www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. We also have the newsletter that went out a little late. I want to apologize to everyone for that. But if you would like to receive one of our newsletters, we only transmit it electronically through email. Please email us at Nation of Yehuda, which is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at yahoo.com, and we will send you a copy of this month's newsletter that we've created for our nation. So we thank you for that.
Yes, I have some people on the conference line. Are you all there? Listeners? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, good. Shalom, shalom. This is Yaina?
Yes, ma'am, I hear you. I'm right here.
Okay, so we're here on the air. I'm not sure who our listeners are. We can have take the time and have them introduce themselves if they choose.
This is Canuck.
Shalom, Brother Canuck.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, this is Savannah
Favodia. Sister Tamar.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you.
All right, they're coming on, they're coming on. We have some faithful listeners. They're coming on. They're coming on to talk. That's a beautiful thing. We thank you. We thank you all for doing that for us. Okay,
shalom,
so
can
you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I kind of made an announcement today. We're going to talk about relationship. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about male. We're going to talk about female. We're going to talk about polygamy. We're going to talk about multiple wives, whether pro or con for it. And the reason why I brought this up is because as a nation, we're putting some things together to be able to accommodate everyone, whatever their beliefs are. And I know it was some people that wanted to kind of express some things about how they felt and different things like that. So since you have access to the listeners, we'll create a system where if somebody wants to talk, all you have to do is ask, may I speak? And then we will allow you to go ahead and speak because we don't have access to the studio dashboard. It's down right now. Okay, Kavai, you got it?
Okay. I got it.
Okay. Does anyone want to give a comment or it's an open forum today? We're getting started a little late, but we're ready to rock and roll. Someone have something they want to comment?
Okay, anyone want? You have any thoughts that you'd like to put on the table? This is, you know, open forum as it always is. We would really love to hear your thoughts.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I was trying to, when I was listening to the topics, it kind of cut off a little bit. So can you repeat those again, please?
Yes, we're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about male-female. We're going to talk about multiple wives today. It's an open topic, but we want to bring the show back to the relationship part of it. And those are the things that we're going to talk about. We're putting some things together in the nation pertaining to marriage. And, you know, the topic of multiple wives came up and the topic of, you know, what people believe and how they feel came up. So we thought that, you know, this would be a good opportunity to bring that to the table.
Hello? Hey, here. Do you have any comments or anything?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, okay. I do.
All right. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
name is Zawubi. I'm calling from Atlanta.
Yes. Okay.
And
go ahead,
I wanted to ask about polygamy, the topic about polygamy and when it's appropriate to, you know, enforce it. Me and another young lady from Hawaii was talking about the subject, and she had pointed something out that was very, very enlightening to me about polygamy. As of last year, around September, they had counted the population on the Earth, and the population on the Earth was 7 billion. The 7 billion child was born on planet Earth in September. It was in New York somewhere. I was just wondering if we have 7 billion people on this planet Earth, what's the point in polygamy? Polygamy was actually enforced to repopulate the Earth.
We have 7 billion people on this planet Earth.
Hey, Kavah.
Yes.
Can you listen?
Yes.
You know what? You think? Do you think our listening audience loves us?
Yes, I do.
Well,
I
guess
really
what?
Do.
Guess what? Our board is up right now, and we have people that have called into the switchboard, and the conference call is echoing. So we got a bunch of people on the switchboard right now that are online. We got area code 757 is online, 314 is online, and 352 is online. So could we please, and I am so sorry for this, but it works much better if we're on the board and the board is working. Can we please have the rest of the people on the conference call to call into the switchboard, and we can all operate from the switchboard?
Yes, hallelujah. Thank you so much.
The prayer worked. Whoever prayed, Brother Abraham and the rest of you all that prayed, we got this board back up and it's working. So let's go back to what works best, and we'll be waiting on everybody's call, and that way we can have it the way we're supposed to. Okay?
Okay, I'm gonna call in myself too. All right.
Shalom. Good. Thank you, everybody, for being so patient with me. Everybody's calling in now. They're calling back into the board. The switchboard is open. The switchboard is working. Please call back in, and we're going to open up the mic to this young lady that was talking. Area code 404, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, are you still on the phone, or are you on Kavah's phone, or are you on the Blog Talk show?
No, I'm on the Blog Talk.
Okay, go ahead, and we can all hear you. Everybody's calling in, so go ahead and tell your story. We can hear you much better now.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I'm glad that the system is back on. My name is Zawubi. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. I was actually asking a question. Well, you know, just giving some insight. Hopefully everybody agrees on it. I was talking about polygamy and when it was most necessary. Last year, it was reported that the 7 billionth person was born on this planet. Around, I think, about September. Polygamy was the first person that actually enforced polygamy, according to the Bible, was Cain. And, you know, you remember Cain and Abel, and, you know, Cain was one of them crazy. He wanted two wives because he wanted to repopulate his side. I'm not sure if it's true or not. I was wondering, since it's over 7 billion people on this planet Earth now, is there any necessary Is it necessary for us to have multiple wives? And if there's a necessary thing to have multiple wives, is there, you know, would it be wise to pick a wife according to their financial status? If that's,
okay. All right. She's asked a question. I want to let everyone on the panel know that your mics are open. Kavai, your mic is open. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you for calling
okay.
in.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Have Brother Adoni is on the line. We're opening up his mic. Brother Abraham's mic is open. Brother Ganaf's mic is open. So the lady asked a question, and she wants to know about polygamy and I'm sure you guys heard her question. Anyone want to comment?
I'll comment.
Okay.
I heard a couple of different things. I know she said something about 7 billion people being born, and you know, with that being said, you know, what's the purpose of it? I know that out of those 7 billion, there's more women on the earth than there are men. But I mean, I won't even go there. I'll just say that you know, in the black community, I think as we're looking at global, but in our community, if you start to really look at how many marriageable men, Hebrew men, there are who can actually head a household and hold down the family and lead the way that, you know, maybe Abraham led his family, you're going to find that those numbers are very, very, very small. And you're also going to find that there is a lot of sisters that have stories about what they've been through trying to find somebody that can do that for them. So I know that there is a big need right now, and there are a lot of more sisters who are walking in a certain way than there are men being able to hold down the households. But really, really, when you come down to it, it comes down to what does the Bible say, and what is our culture? And I think that our culture does allow for a man to have more than one wife under certain circumstances. And with that being said, you know, there's not, if you look at the Bible, there's not really a process where it says this is how you go about taking another wife, unless you start talking about if you're going to take a woman from, you know, that was from another country or a foreign woman, you know, shave her head and wait 30 days, that type of thing. So then you do have to really start talking about, is it something that the two people are ready for? Because it's something that is very, very hard to deal with in America, because we've all been raised in American Eurocentric upbringing. And regardless of, you know, how long we've been a Hebrew, we have those things within our heads. And so when we try to come and sit down and say, okay, we're going to practice our culture, it takes a little bit of time before you can be able to really make something like that work. And the people have to be very, very upfront. You know, also understanding that there may be mistakes that are made. How do you handle failure? You know, there's a lot of things that have to be done. The maturity has to be, like, you know, on like 175% to be able to sit down and handle that. So that's what I would say about that. So, and then I know there was something said about Cain. You know, Cain was the first record of somebody having two wives, and you're right. Most of the ideas in the Bible where you see a man having more than one wife, there's always strife in those types of things. However, sometimes you do have to look at what wasn't being said, because if, you know, I'm sure those weren't the only people that did that, and I'm sure that you know, there was probably some successful points with that, but those people may not have been mentioned. And then last but not least, you said something about finances. The idea of a man taking care of a woman and she just sitting home doing nothing but taking care of children is not our culture. If you look at the culture of, for example, the Proverbs 31 woman, the Proverbs 31 woman knows real estate. She knows import, export. She is also a person who can financially be a part of, you know, bringing money into the household too, as well as probably sitting down when there's decisions made in the household and being able to say, okay, hey, here's a decision that we need to make that's going to affect our household, whether it's financially, spiritually, et cetera. So, you know, the idea of a man having to have, you know, millions and millions of dollars to be able to take care of a woman and she doesn't do anything but sit around is a misnomer. So, you know, I just wanted to put that out there. And that's kind of where I, you know, want to leave it at this point.
Let me say something real quick. Very good. We have the mics open. I see Brother Moshe is on the line. Brother Abraham, we have the brother from California who just spoke. And we have Brother Adonia, his mic is open. We just wanted to, like we said, this is a show. We had some technical difficulties in the beginning, and we do apologize for that. But you know what? We have followers that are faithful, and they love us, and that they've conformed, and they're back with us. So just an open forum today, and a young lady asked a question about polygamy, and we just wanted to bring it out on the table. Personally, my own opinion, I do not agree with it. It's not for me, but I don't knock anyone else who does it. I mean, you know, it's just not something that I would do for myself. But because we're building a nation, and because the nation building is so important to what we're doing, we have to be able to accommodate everyone, and we don't want anyone to feel like that they can't express their opinion because of the feedback that they're going to get, because everyone's opinion is important, and everyone who has something to say is important as well. So anyone that wants to say something or have a comment one way or the other, please let us know what you want to, what we're going to talk about.
Shalom, shalom. This is Abraham.
Yes, go ahead.
First, I want to say that Brother, I think, is it Hanat from California this spoke?
Yes.
Yes.
Brother, you nailed it. You know, you spoke eloquently with maturity, and I want to first applaud you for giving that wonderful dissertation. Secondly, we have to understand that everything that we're experiencing right now, we're operating in reverse. Everything is in reverse. I mean, you know, we don't really look at it, but even if you look at the Hebrew is written, you know, from the right and read from the right to the left. English is read and written from the left to the right. Everything in this culture is reversed. And it's done systematically, and it's done to keep us from being the great nation that we are. So, in reference to the sister's question, the Eurocentric approach is wrong. But it's not just wrong from the standpoint of the way that they try to position polygamy in the minds of the masses, because they will tell you that it's wrong for a man to have, you know, multiple wives, but they'll go out and promote a man having a wife and a mistress. Or they'll go out and have the women's mind condition that I'll just be a chick on the side, that's okay. So we have to understand that all of this has been done to keep us in bondage. You wonder why they use pork on everything. Everything's got to have bacon on it. Everything's got to be a bacon this, bacon that. You know, that's not just by coincidence. That's done to defile Israel. So when you look at polygamy, that's something that, if done right, is required for us to build the nation. 7 billion people on the planet is really doesn't have anything to do with the nation of Israel being built, because those 7 billion people right now are worshiping Baal. They're worshiping something or someone other than the Most High, Yahweh. What Yah needs for us is he needs for us to build a nation of people that worship him and him alone, and not look at a Euro-Gentile or Eurocentric way of how they portray us as a people, culture in general, but to build a culture of honor where the man and the woman are seeking someone to add to the family for the benefit of them all. It can't be a selfish pursuit where a man is running around here and saying, I just want to have all these women, That is not what it's about. And if you actually look at how it went down in Scripture, every time there was a multiple wife introduced, it was introduced by the woman. Sarah introduced Hagar into that marriage. You know, so it, you know, right now, we just have to learn how to operate properly to build the nation of Israel and not be tricked into believing that our culture or aspects of our culture are inappropriate or incorrect. Now, they may be carried out currently in an inappropriate way. They may be incorrect in the practice of having multiple wives in this current modern day, but it doesn't mean that it's wrong. We have to find the ways to operate, to become self-sufficient, to become self-sustaining, to understand respect between the husband and the wife first, because you can't add another wife because the word says that the first wife cannot be lacking in any way. So you can't add another wife and your first wife is lacking in affection, lacking in resources, lacking in financing. So if that man doesn't have the capacity and enough love and to expand the family by keeping his first wife intact, and then that overflow of love from both the man and the woman for this other party, she should be loved equally by the husband and the wife.
And if the wife
is not in full agreement, then that other party cannot enter into that family. You know, it's about growing and expanding the family, which is going to expand the community, which is going to expand the nation. Not, oh, I'm going to get a new wife and I'm going to kick my first one under the bus. So,
yeah.
You know, with that, I'll release the mic.
All right, you guys, let me say something before we get started. This is going to be hot and heavy today because we got some people on the line. We have a lot of callers on the line today. So if you have a comment about what the brother just said, please push 1. The panel's mics are open. We want to hear from the community as a whole. We have a lot of different perspectives when it comes to multiplicity, when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships. Kavai, what's your opinion on it all? How do you feel about all of this?
Well, that's a good question, Sister Yaina. Sister Kavai has had a stance for a long time, and my stance is still where I've been standing. I don't agree with polygamy. I'm not for it. It's not going to work for me. But I do understand that people are going to do what they're going to do. That in our culture, according to the scriptures, we see that they did have multiple wives. Now, the process in which that happened, most of it was under, I'll use Yaakov for an example. When Yaakov got, he worked for Laban for 7 years because in the beginning the covenant was for Rachel. And Laban knew that it was the custom that the first daughter is to be married off first. So in his mind, he already planned on giving Leah to Yaakov and getting Yaakov to work another 7 years to be able to get Rachel. But in the midst of all of that transpiring, our father Yaakov was very honorable in the fact that when he had the sexual relations with Leah and he realized that she was not Rachel, he was honorable enough to keep her. But not only was he honorable enough to keep her, I also believe that if he had not kept her, that they would have killed him because he had laid with her, he defiled her, and then to throw her away, that wasn't going down like that. So he was like stuck in a situation where he couldn't do nothing but keep Leah, even though that was not the agreement. He didn't want two wives in the beginning. He wanted one wife, and he wanted Rachel. I also look at the pattern in the scriptures of how the Most High did things. When I look at when he created man and he gave Eve to Adam, he presented Adam with one wife. When I look at after the flood, how he was trying to take everything back to the beginning when he told Noah to go in the ark with him and his one wife, Noah's sons, and each of them all had one wife, to go back and, you know, to go into the ark. So I look at all of that. I look at our brother Canuck said something that was powerful. Look at the things that was not said. I agree with you. So I'm looking at the pattern of what the Most High has done and what he is still doing. Now, we have a lot of our brethren around here, and I hear them talk about with all of us having this Eurocentric mindset. But when I look in the scriptures, when the Most High created Adam, that had Europe wasn't nowhere on the map. I also look at how our brothers run around here that are nothing but they're colonialized. After colonialized and trying to live a lifestyle that they don't even know how to put together. So all of the parties in the myth suffer. So as for Kavah, that's not going to work for me. You know, other people may agree with it. That's them. But what I see in the scripture as far as the pattern of the Most High, I don't agree with it. Even down to the very physical science of the way our body is made. If I had three hands on my body, I would be a freak of nature. So I look at everything from the science to, you know, of our bodies. We have a right and left side of the brain. We have right and left side for everything. We have two eyes, two hands, two feet. We have our mouth is split from top to bottom. We have two nostrils. We have an anterior and a posterior. We have women have a right and a left fallopian tube. Men have a right and left testicle. We have a right and a left butt. Actually, everything is in two. So, you know, right side of the heart, left side of the heart. I mean, everything is in two. And then when you bring the woman and the man together, if they were fused together, they would be one.
One.
So I can't see me and my spouse being fused together and then I got to add another person on. That's a freak of nature. So, you know, my stance is Kavah, for me, that's a deal breaker.
All right. Sounds like a plan. It sounds like it's going to get hot and heated up in here, and the phone lines are lighting up, and the board is full. I just want to let everybody know, thank you for being so patient with us today because we had some issues going on with our phone lines, and we got everything back on the air, and we're going to be on here probably for an hour over time to be able to touch this topic for those who want to stay on with us. You know, if you want to have a comment or you want to say something or add something to this, because we have Unconscious Israel on the line too, just press 1 and we'll get you on. We want to know what you feel because we're building a nation, and a nation means that there's going to be all kinds of people coming with thoughts. My stance on it is this, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart. Multiple wives are not it's not the law. I mean, it's a custom and it's a culture that they have allowed, that the Most High has allowed. And even with Rachel and Leah, Leah was important because she birthed 6 of the tribes, 6 of the sons, you know, and when Sarah offered Hagar to Abraham, and yes, she did that out of lack of faith and disobedience. So the fact that she did do that caused some problems, and we're still fighting over those problems today. I feel like that, you know, intimacy is so important between a man and a woman that I don't believe personally that one man can satisfy more than one woman. I just don't believe it. I mean, I haven't seen it happen. But like the brother said, men have wives and they have concubines in the scripture. Now we have wives and we have mistresses in the scripture. So it has to come down to, for me, and I'm with Kavah on that. I have to have my own. He has to be mine, 100% mine. I'm not going to get nobody for him to be with. And I don't even know how it works. Somebody tell me how it works. Do you live in the same household together? Do they live in separate houses together? I mean, because even with the sexual aspect of it, from a woman's standpoint, I don't even understand all that. So I have a question for the panel that I'm going to open up, and you guys hold on to my question because I want to get to the audience. The phone lines are lighting up. So let me open up the phone lines for some of the people who have questions. Area code 678, you're on on the air. Go ahead.
Hello, this is Hondo Solomon. I'm calling in. I just got in, but I heard the sisters talking, the host and the sister who just spoke. We got a few problems here. First, polygyny was regulated in the scriptures, okay? We have to understand that the Torah is laid out in legal fashion, laid out exactly like a legal contract. If you compare legal contracts in your local jurisdiction to the Torah, see, it's laid out the same way. When Yahweh uses such terminology as when you take on another wife, that does not mean every man will have an additional wife. We understand that. However, Hebrew culture has been built on both monogamy and polygyny. However, polygyny has never been spoken against, and I have traced it. I actually have a book on polygyny, and I've traced polygyny throughout every Hebrew culture in the world, and it is only modern American Hebrews who even have this debate. If you look at the Sephardi, the Mizrahi, you look in southeastern, western Africa, you look in India, China, all the Hebrews in those areas, they never have this debate because I speak to them. And they think it is crazy that over here in America, most of the Hebrew women here are single. And the men do need to be trained. I agree with you, ladies, when you say the men need to be trained in proper etiquette, manners, and customs. We do. I get it. But the same would go for men preparing for monogamous marriage as well. So it goes both ways. And the fact that in the United States you have a 75% divorce rate, it's not 50, it's not 25, as Dr. Phil tried to posit. It's actually closer to 75%. We have to try other things, not just polygyny, but polygyny does need to be an option to handle. There are more women than men. We need that. In Torah, this was not something that we made up as a custom, as the sister just said. We didn't make that up. That was in Torah as an option for families to have if necessary and if they so chose to. Also, you have to deal with the fact that some women, especially in Western lands in the Anglosphere, their wombs are damaged from radiation, bad food, it's processed food. Okay, if you're not growing it yourself, it's more likely processed, or if you're not buying from the produce section. Processed food, women who are having constant abortions, that also damages the womb. A lot of these women cannot have children. There are a lot of cases, and they've come across my desk, people are asking, well, what are we supposed to do? Am I supposed to divorce my husband so that he can have a woman to... In fact, I just got told a story about that yesterday. A woman divorced her high school sweetheart because she wanted him to be able to have a baby. Okay? Or the men and the woman, they will have strife in the household instead of simply getting another wife. That does happen. It's not the majority of the time, but it does happen. What if there are more women in that region that they reside in and they are available? They don't have to pack up and start a whole new life elsewhere. That's not practical. Okay? So polygyny is reserved for those who can actually handle it. I understand what you ladies are saying regarding the men who are unfit. We're obviously not saying that every man should be doing this unless he is trained, unless his personality is proper, his character, his bearing. Mm-hmm. Then, yes, they can practice, if they so choose, they and their women. And that's up to each family. But we cannot deride polygyny. We are making a huge mistake because our culture was built on both monogamy and polygyny. And also, I'll stress it again, we only have this debate in North America. Hebrews abroad are not having this debate.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
And they are thriving.
I have a question for you.
I want to ask some questions.
Because I got some issues with that. Let me tell you why I have some issues with that. Because everywhere in the scripture that it happened that we know of, let's deal with Sarah. Let's deal with Sarah and Abraham. That was a problem. Even though
I understand the arguments. I've heard the arguments. Sister, I've heard the arguments.
Let me say something to you for a minute. The reason why we do this show is because everybody has an opportunity to speak, and we're not arguing. We're just asking questions and we're debating. So I just want to bring something to the table. Now, this is just all I want to say on that note, because even though Sarah went and got Hagar to Abraham because she didn't believe what the Most High told her, because he didn't tell her to do that. She did that on her own. And when she did that, you know what it caused? It caused a problem. Because even
actually, no, the details of the scriptures don't say that. That the details of the scriptures do not blame polygyny. If you look at the details of the scriptures, it was because Hagar was insulting Sarah. It was not because it was polygyny. You never see polygyny. Remember, there's a four-part way of interpreting scriptures. That's how the ancient sages did it. And the first one is express, then implied, then symbolic, then mysterious. It's in that order. There has never been expressly stated in the scriptures that polygyny was a sin. Remember, Torah is a legal document. Therefore,
well,
whenever something... What's that?
Shalom, Mr. Adonia.
Hold on, you guys. Hold on. Let me make a step. Let me say something real quick, because this is gonna get very interesting. But I have to stress that when we communicate with each other, we have to be able to listen. While one person talks, another person listens, and we have to be able to do that. So, Adonia, hold on one moment, and brother from Atlanta, please hold on one moment, because I really want to get this point out, because we have people that are on the line that are unconscious Hebrews, and I really want to make my point, if you don't mind. What I'm saying is this. This is my point. My point is this. Even though we're not talking about the polygamy thing, it's up to the individual whether they want to have, it's up to the husband and the wife whether they want to bring another partner in on the scene. We understand the contract of Torah. We understand all of that. The problem that we come up against is this. Even though it was allowed, and yes, there are allowances for it in the Torah, it is not mandatory that you have one. And in most cases, just like Sarah and Hagar, well, it was a problem between those two women and that one man. It was a problem between Leah and Rachel with Jacob. I mean, it was a problem, and I don't, whether we do it here, we are the descendants of those ancient Hebrews. And yes, we have been over in this country and living in this country and raised or whatever. But even from a natural standpoint, if you go back to the garden, because everything was fastened after the garden, like Kabbalah said, there was male and female. There was not male and two females. And some of you sisters that are out there that have a comment, please push one, because we have to be, and we're not trying to convince anybody to change, you know, because if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But at the same time, there is two sides to the scale, and we don't all believe that. So, you know, that's where my comment was. So, Brother Donia, you go ahead if you want to speak.
Shalom. This is Adonia from Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to always have this problem because we've been Europeanized, and as long as we say we must separate ourselves. If we separate ourselves, then we have to have judges, and we'll have to have the elders, and these people will be able to iron out some of these indiscretions and these atrocities. As long as we're here, we've been Americanized or Europeanized. And we need to separate ourselves and become a sovereign nation. This way, we'll be able to iron out our differences. We involve ourselves with all of these strifes and problems. But as long as we stay under this government, we're going to have these problems. We're going to come up with all of these different understandings and et cetera. When we have these problems, we're supposed to be able to go to the judges or go to the elders, and they work us through these things. They had the polygamy, you understand, was just the way that we handled things at that particular time, you understand? Now, in this particular time right here, let me go here. It says when Adam had his wife, she was supposed to be a helpmeet. Now, on working off that premise, if you take on another wife, it's got to be something that she's doing to help build Israel as we want to try to build a nation. You understand? We just can't just willy-nilly just have women. You understand? And when we have these indiscretions, they're supposed to be able to go to the elders or go to the judges, and they're supposed to judge these situations. I relinquish the mic.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. We're going to go to area code 513 in a minute. We're dealing with multiple wives and pros and cons of it. Everybody has their own way they think, and everybody has their own opinion about what they have to say. If you want to make a comment, please push 1 because we're eager to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, Kavah.
I just want to bring out a point of something. I keep hearing people constantly bring up the fact about Sarah and Abraham and Hagar. And one thing going through that story, when you look at that story carefully, one thing you will notice in that story, and I believe the Most High did this strategically for a reason, there's not one time in that scripture that the Most High ever called Hagar Abraham's wife. He called Sarah his wife. Your wife, Sarah. Sarah, your wife. Sarah, your wife. Sarah, your wife. Hagar was never addressed as the wife of Abraham. In fact, the Most High told Abraham, you listen to your wife. Get rid of that woman. Get rid of her. Put her out. Sarah is right. So we're looking at these things in a way because a lot of times a lot of brethren want to justify lust. It's not about, okay, I want to take on this family because I want to, this woman or this family is without a head, without protection, without financial support. They're not looking at it the right way. It's all about the other part. So in looking at that story, and even when it came to Jacob and Leah and Rachel and their two handmaidens, all this doggone confusion and jealousy, you know, he's being sold out, being, you know, for some mandrakes. You go lay with him tonight. Give me the mandrakes, and you can lay with him.
They were stealing him out. Absolutely.
I want. You know, I'm jealous because now Rachel's handmaiden has had a baby, and oh my goodness. So let me let my handmaiden lay with him, so we can get some more children. Granted, the 12 tribes came out of that. But look at the mess, the M-E-double-triple-S, the mess. And Israel is still in a mess. So I hear the brother said, oh, this is the contract of Torah, but Torah never said, there's never one part in Torah that says that a man is entitled to a second wife. I believe Moshe made the provisions just like he introduced the divorcement, the bill of divorcement because of the way the women were being treated by the men. So he has to also implement something to regulate these men getting these wives. And yes, I have grown up here in America. You may say I have a westernized way of thinking, but guess what? I cannot help that I was put here on this soil, because it was in the timeline of Yah that I be on this soil in America at this point in time when our nation wake up. So we can say, well, you've been westernized, you've been this, you've been that. That's all fine and well. But the point of the fact is I'm here because Yah had me here at this place at this time. And I won't apologize for that because it was a part of what is transpiring now. So, you know, that's all I need to say to that, Sister Yahina.
Okay, I want to make some announcements. We have some pastors on the line. We have some Christian pastors on the line. We want to say welcome. I won't call your name, but I do see your phone number. We appreciate you calling into the show. If you have a comment, you want to say something, press 1. We'd love to get you on the show. We have quite a few callers. We got area code 916-678-404-513-314-757-352-951. They call it all over the country because, you know, this is some serious. But we're not here to change anybody's mind, believe me, because I know it's an issue that it can't be changed. All we're saying is that it's an issue. So I'm going to go to area code 513, since I promised you're on the air. Go ahead, area code 513, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Tamar. Can I be heard? Is this the
513? Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Before I begin, I'd like to ask if you can leave my mic open because I think I could add something, or at least I would like to add something to this conversation.
Sure.
It really releases some negative energy for me hearing the conversation because it seems like it stirs strife. And I think that our brothers and sisters are already doing it in the Western world. Women are already sharing their men. The women don't have honor. And they're sneaking, they're fighting among themselves, and that makes it ugly. I think one of the things is that we have to, you know, we've been operating so much in the physical realm, so we look at just the physical aspect of it, but we probably are lending ourselves way too much to our self-gratification of the flesh. And I think that it can work. I haven't experienced it, but I think that definitely the women would have to be women that already had the values of sisterhood. It can't be about the man. It can't be the man necessarily choosing, although he has to be appealing to all the women involved. It can't just be the women choosing one another, of course. But I think that one of the things, the reason why it doesn't work for us, it's because we miss the whole concept of who we are. You know, the Most High says the heaven and the earth and the fullness thereof belongeth to him. And when we get into this realm, we start claiming, naming and claiming everything from our children to our house to our car to our husband, and everything becomes me, mine, when in actuality nothing belongs to us, even those whom we choose to love. We're just sharing a journey with them. And if we can get to the point of realizing that fully, then I think we can have more love and respect for one another. And but in answering your question, how could it work? I think that the only way that it could work is women don't need to live together. Women need to be able to have their own household. The brother mentioned, I don't think no woman would need to live in a house, whether it was a 4 or 5 bedroom house, and know that what's going on in the other room. You know, that to me just wouldn't make any sense. Another thing was someone mentioned about the brothers and the state that we're in as a people, so many brothers not being fit to be men of household. So we have to pick from the few that are stable-minded and that are fit to be head of household. Well, in the healing of this nation, and when we stop thinking about equating the dollar with being a man, then I think we will find that there are quite a few brothers out here that can be head of household. They do have things to contribute. And we all do have to contribute as the woman in Proverbs 31. So I don't want to take up the whole time, but if you leave it open, I'm sure I'm going to want to ask some more things because I do think that it should work and we shouldn't beat it up because I think a lot of fighting is going on among us that needs to cease.
Shalom, shalom. Okay, this is Adonia once again.
Shalom, shalom.
Hold on, brother. Let me ask a question. I have a quick question, and I'm going to let you guys get on there. I just have a question. The reason why we're doing this is this reason, because we have new people that are coming into the Hebrew Israelite movement. They're coming into this from Christianity. They're coming into this from the Muslim movement. They're coming in. From Christianity standpoint, this is unheard of. So what we have to do is we have to establish the options are there, because for a man to say, well, this is allowed, this is okay, and then for another group to say, well, we don't think it's okay, you're supposed to have one wife, There lies the problem, because you have a person that's coming in trying to find out who they are, what the culture is, what we're supposed to do, and then we don't, because a lot of women are getting pulled into this situation thinking that this is the way everybody does it. And the reason why we have to show to do this today is to let everybody know everybody doesn't do it this way, and everybody doesn't condone it, but we don't knock whoever does do it the way they do it. That's just the way you do it. So we have some people on the line that are out of Christianity, and if you guys want to add to the thing, please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. And Brother Abraham, I think you was next, and then Adonia, you can go after him.
Shalom, shalom, family. And I'm so grateful for mature sisters like Sister Tamar speaking up and bringing that shalom back into it, because it's not an argument. And I think both Kavah as well as Yaina, you know, have stated their personal opinion, but they're both still open-minded enough and culturally minded enough to know that, okay, there's something that's out here, let's address it. So I applaud both of you. Here's the key, okay? We're not telling people that one way is mandatory. So we're not saying that, you know, polygyny is mandatory, and we're not saying monogamy is mandatory. We're saying in the United Nations of Israel, so just it's clear, that we're going to be able to support both, so that those people who choose one way of lifestyle over another based on their understanding and overstanding of their own culture, that there is a structured way that they could come out of Babylon and come into this where it's in order and it's decent and in order. And we have to be healed in so many ways before we could come into it, because you can't come into this thing saying, oh, well, she ain't giving me what I need, so I'm going to get another one. No, sir, you were wrong. You know, the Most High will not honor that. You need to be saying, if you got a problem, you can't get another one until you fix the one you got. And what I mean by that, not another fix. You can't fix the person. You got to fix yourself so that you are man enough to meet all the needs of your Isha. And she has to be, I'm going to tell you, when you know you got it right, when your Isha is looking for another Isha for the family, then you're doing it right. But if you're running around here just saying, oh, man, she's fine, I'm going to go at her, I'm going to lay with her, make her my wife, you're dead wrong. So, you know, it's a nation-building scenario for those who choose it. Now, if you think that going out here and getting two and three women that's all on welfare, and you sitting around the house while your Isha's are bringing in welfare checks, you're still doing it wrong. Okay, so it's so many bad examples that's where we get caught up. If we would bring ourselves out of looking at the bad examples, go back to Scripture, go back to Torah, and then look for the good examples and exhibit the right character so that we're building instead of tearing down. You can always know if you're doing it wrong if the end result is something being torn down. Then it's not of Yah, because that's that death cycle, that's that curse cycle. But if you're doing things in a way where you see life in abundance and you see that the needs of another is being met and there's expansion, see, now you're going down the path of the Most High, because you're seeing the positive energy, you're seeing the life force, you're seeing the expansion, your tents being expanded. Okay, that's Yah. But if it's strife, grief, contention, divorce, separation, that's not of Yah. See, the Scripture says, know them by the fruit. If the fruit you're bearing is of Yah, you'll see it. If the fruit you're bearing is of HaSatan, you'll see that too. So, you know, we're not saying one way's right and another way's wrong. What we're saying in the United Nations of Israel is that we will have a structured way for both monogamy and polygyny. And if someone is outside of those laws, then they will be put outside of the camp. And we'll let the world deal with you. But inside of the camp or inside of the nation, there has to be order. There has to be structure. There has to be a righteous way of doing things that brings shalom, that brings both, that brings, you know, a expansion of the worship of the Most High Yah. And I release the mic.
Okay. I'm going to make an announcement. Hold on just one moment, please. We have 31 minutes left before we go into overtime. So if someone wants to call in, I would urge you to tell them to call in right now, because at 5 at 5:30. We're going to an hour overtime, and you won't be able to access the show after that. Brother Adonia, are you there, or whoever that was speaking?
That was Brother Canoke. I just wanted to just quickly add to what we were saying. You know, since you were saying that, you know, there's all kinds of different people that are listening, I'd like to just say for myself, being a Hebrew and practicing this for, you know, 15 years, I'd say that if you haven't been practicing for at least 7 to 8, 9, 10 years, you don't even want to be saying the word. You don't want to be thinking about it. You don't even want to be even questioning it. Because before you can do anything like that, let alone even get married according to what the scriptures teach, you're going to have to go through a cleansing process that's going to take years. Because here's another thing that I know that the brother said something about a 75% divorce rate. What happens is that we have egos, and what the Most High requires of us is obedience. In other words, we move ourselves and our ego out of the way, and we replace whatever our opinions, ideas, values, beliefs to match his. That means we know if we thought that we really liked pork, you don't anymore. You don't, because it's against the rules. And so as you go through the process of removing your own ego and then letting the law become your ego, that becomes your guide, that becomes your values, that becomes your beliefs, that becomes your final word, then you won't have to battle with your emotions about you like this, you like this, I want somebody to do this, I want somebody to do that. No, what does the Most High require in the situation? And that becomes the issue. When you can do that, then you might be ready to get married to one person. But until you've gotten to that point specifically, you're not going to be able to talk about being married to two people. What? Because when you go into that situation, the man is married to the woman, and the woman is married to the woman. Of course, it's much different. We're not talking about on the same level and with the same things, but there is a union between all three people. And what governs the union is not what he wants, what she wants, or what anybody else wants. It's what does the law say that we do? So if you can't get rid of your own ego, then it's something that you should not even be talking about. And the whole idea behind the Torah and behind coming into the knowledge of truth of who you are is you're going to have to get rid of what you think. And you're not going to be leaning to your own understanding. I think that's Proverbs 3:5. That has to go. You now have to replace whatever you think your understanding is with what the Torah says and what the Most High says. And see, when you do that, and when two people can do that, whether it's camps, whether it's groups, whether it's brothers, whether it's sisters, then you'll find a way to be able to work with each other, because at the end of the day, what does the law say? Do we have any examples of how this was handled? Okay, how are we going to handle this in order to make sure that there is a fruitful union? And with that, I'll turn the mic.
All right. I just want to let you know we have 27 minutes left. I'm going to open up Brother Donia. I'm going to get right with you because you're on the panel, and we're going to ask you guys to please limit your comments to 1 minute. If you have something you want to say, please push number one. Area code 404, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Greetings. Okay. Hi. This is Zawubi from Atlanta again. I thank everybody for their thoughts and everybody about their opinions and also facts. I was in a relationship, and that was involving polygamy, and I don't down polygamy. I really don't. I actually don't mind being in a polygamous relationship. I really don't. It's just, you know, just as it was said before by the young sister, I just love her spirit as well, and some of the other brothers that, you know, we just have to be on one accord. Some people are not gonna want to do it. That's you know, how they feel. But, you know, I don't mind doing it as long as it's done correctly. Because my mindset is like, okay, well, if I could be able to build something within that type of family, then that so be it. But if I'm not going to be able to, based upon emotional terms and how the different mindsets affect, you know, the community or also the dynasty or the tribe or the group or what have you, then I might as well just stay by myself until then. But the result of me being in the relationship with the young man, and I still love him, you know, I really do, was that I had to disengage based upon the actions and the emotions that were involved with bringing too many females together at one time and not stimulating or building a good relationship with his wife, now ex-wife, and involving me in it, and then involving another female and another female without, you know, establishing a very good and sound structure and foundation with the wife and me. So I again say that thank you all. I've been listening to the show up until now. Thank you all for saying all of that. And I've been doing research based upon the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, and everything, you know. And it says the same exact thing. If your mindset is not where it is, then it's not for you. But, you know, we live in a world where there's over 7 billion people. There's over 7 billion people, and there's over a million mindsets and ideas and cultures and backgrounds. So we have to accommodate based upon their own mindset. It's just, you know, just stages of living and maturing and, you know, just getting to that enlightened part of life. That's just my opinion. So I release.
Okay, and I want to say something too, because it seems like that there's more pro polygamy on the line than it is not. And again, we want to let everybody know in the audience that there are, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's a mindset, or whether or not it can work if it's a sisterhood, or it can work if it's this. It can work if that's what you want to do. If you don't, there are still, on the flip side, there are those that do not believe in it, and we do not do it, and the mindset is not there because that's not for us. So the reason for the whole show is to let everybody know that, yes, we're building a nation, and, yes, this is a big deal in our nation in terms of people coming into the Hebrew Israelite movement and it being exposed to the polygamous scene and coming in as a monogamous couple. We don't want the message to be sent that this is what everybody does. We just believe that there's some that believe it and there's some that don't believe in it. And on that note, I'm gonna open up Brother Adonijah's mic. Brother, you on the air? Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonijah. Yeah. I've been in Israel for 35 to 40 years. I haven't seen polygamy work not one time. If there's somebody out there that's in a polygamous relationship and it's working, they need to call in and let us hear how it's working for them. Now, this is why I say that we must have a council so that when we are confronted with these situations and circumstances, it don't develop into no divorce or it don't develop into a shootout. You understand? So, you know, so my whole premise here is to try to get Israel to come together as in a sovereign nation so that we can counsel together on all these issues. You can't go from community to community committing the same atrocities. I relinquish the mic. Oh, one more thing before I relinquish the mic. My phone is dying on me, so I want to tell y'all this. I love all y'all, and there's nothing that you can do about it. I relinquish the mic.
Oh, no, that's right.
I love you. I love it. It's beautiful. So, Bob, you know, this is beautiful that we got this thing going on because, like you, I'm sorry.
I didn't know if my mic was open.
Yeah, your mic's still open. And the thing about this thing is, and it's a thing, I mean, it's an issue. I mean, because in my opinion, and I'm going to just say in my opinion, I'm not sharing my man with nobody. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there like that. If you ladies can do it, have at it. But as far as the Aina concerned, I'm not sharing my man with nobody. And if it's 50 women to one man, I'll wait for that one that belongs to me. Because I'm not going to go through that. And like I said, we got pastors on the line. Please push one if you have something that you want to say. We would love to hear from you. And we're going to let her talk right now. Erica 513, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I came in on the tail end of the conversation, and I heard a lot of people agreeing with it and few disagreeing with it. My question to the panel is, what is the purpose of having more than one wife?
Good question, sis.
Because when people come in, I heard a lot of talk about the law, what's the purpose of having one wife? And if that's the case, can I have another husband?
I'll answer that question.
Yes.
And I say that jokingly, not that I want another husband.
I mean,
But you're going to have women coming in.
Hold on, you guys. Wait a minute. Let her finish. Go ahead.
You're going to have women coming in and possibly crossing over from Christianity, and they're going to allow that some might allow men to have other wives, but then the dangerous part is they may go out and choose another husband. So what's the purpose of having so many in one household?
Okay. I'll go ahead and deal with this. Oh, I could say something about have. Oh, do you want me to let somebody else go?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. No, you go.
Oh no, I was gonna. Okay, I apologize. I was just gonna say that. See, I guess the thing is that there's rules about adultery. So if a sister goes and gets another husband and she already has a husband, she's gonna commit adultery. And that's, you know, the scriptures. So that's why I said before, you have to let go of your ego. If you aren't going to now put the law, the Torah, as your final word, well, then you're not going to look at it that way. You're going to say things like, I want another husband. There's going to be a whole bunch of other things that come into play. But the laws of the Torah say that if a woman lays with another man and she's married, she's committing adultery. And there's rules and regulations behind how that's dealt with. Now, as far as what the purpose of it is, well, you won't find that. You won't find it in the Bible that says what the purpose of it is. But I will tell you this, and this is my personal opinion, Canoak. The men that you hear about, whether it's Gideon, David, Abraham, Jacob, the men who did have another wife other than the one that they had, these were very high men in the society, right? And because the Bible is patriarchal, Now, I understand that that's probably going to conjure up some kind of, you know, you might even see horns coming out of somebody's head, in somebody's head about that. But because of the way that the Bible is and because of the way that the culture of the Hebrews is, then men who are in powerful positions, just as in any society that you go to, will have that access. I mean, it's not something, I mean, you know, I'm not going to debate about it, but that's just the way that it goes. No different than, you know, we have, you know, in our society, if you look at America, there's women who will say, okay, well, yeah, you average guy that's on the street, you know, here's your rules. But if another guy, if I get the opportunity to be another guy's wife, and he's got this, or he's this, or he's this, 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 and that, then the rules will be relaxed and things will be different. And this is going on in our community right now. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's the purpose, but also when you're talking about nation building, you're talking about the understanding that right now in our community, 75% of the sisters are single. I mean, this doesn't even have to really go into polygamy as in I'm going to have, you know, or a man is going to have multiple women. There's just families in general that need to have a male presence there, because without the male presence in the family, then you have a lot of things that are going to go on in your society. So that's those are the purposes. If you start to look at economics, there's another purpose. If you start to look at education of children, there's another purpose. There's a whole bunch of different purposes. Like I said, they're not spelled out in the Bible that says you should do this because of this. But once again, you do have to look at the culture, and if you start to research the culture of the Bible, the culture of the areas around the Bible, you will find where the Bible took place. You'll find that those cultures had things in place for that to happen, and there was an economic portion to it. There was an educational portion as far as taking care of the children. Most of the men who you're talking about that have more than one wife, they were landholders. They had large tracts of land. You know, they needed help. You know, if you look at even going back to Africa, if you look at that now, there's places to where a man may have 200 or 300 acres, and he may have a wife, and traditionally in that society, the women do work. They don't just sit at home doing nothing. So, you know, she might even ask, hey, I need some help to take care of our household while, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just saying that those are some of the purposes that I've seen and that I've researched. So with that, I'll go ahead and give up.
Can I interject?
Okay, yes. Hold on, sis. Did you get your question answered, or you didn't? Do you have anything else?
Hello, can you hear me?
Erica. Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
For the most part, because
it
looks like it's a culture thing.
Can I say something?
And two, on the other, hold on, Brother Moshe. Brother Moshe is on the line from Chicago, Illinois. And two, it is a benefit to me. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have a man that has money. I mean, you know, this is just my opinion, and I'm not coming down on anybody, because like I said, there's more people on the line that do believe in it than don't believe in it. And I want to make an announcement. We have 12 minutes left before we go into overtime. If you want somebody to call in, please tell them to do it now, because at 5:30 they will not be able to call into the show, and we can all still be on the panel and still talk. But to me, I mean, it's one thing to have a man that has substance, and every woman wants that. I mean, that's clear to every woman that I know wants to have a man that can be a man and have substance. But when you mm-hmm. ask the question, what's the benefit to it, you know, the benefit to it, it more leans toward the man, because and with the divorce rate being 75% and there being a whole lot of women out there that are alone, that's an excuse to me, because the more we educate our men as to who they are and the more Yahuwah wakes them up, that changes
mm-hmm.
those dynamics drastically to the point where every woman can have a man to herself. So to me, from my standpoint and from the way I look at it like this, I've never seen two women be able to do this? Now, let me tell you what I experienced. I've watched it happen. I watched a young lady marry a man, well, through the Hebrews she got married. They didn't get married through legal terms, through on the, whatever you guys call it. They got married through the Hebrew means. And then she went with this man to live wherever. Now, they chose another wife to come in on the scene, and the other wife lived in another house. Guess what? He drew more toward that other wife, and there was a problem. So anytime, and I'm going to say this again, anytime there's two women involved, it's going to be an issue. I mean, you know, the sisterhood stuff, that sounds so good, but at the end of the day, I haven't seen it work in marriages where there was just one wife. Because, it's, I don't know, I mean, maybe it's me, I don't know, I'm just going to shut up. But go ahead, Sister Tamar.
Okay, I guess we could probably ask some of our sisters and brothers, old school, that have been mistresses to a married man for so many years, and how did it work? I guess the expectation, perhaps. But my question and concern are where I want to just interject, because, it, you know, I know this is not a subject that's going to go away, and we are talking about nation building. The thing that would concern me, and I just want to interject for everyone to consider, is how to protect everyone involved, because it seems in this society, you know, you can only have one wife. You know, you can only one person can be represented down at the courthouse, and then you have the other wives that really kind of have to just trust that if something should happen to the husband, that they're going to be still provided for, and that the first wife, that her true colors may. So I just want to interject that in doing the nation building, we need to make sure that we protect the interests of all the parties involved, and primarily the children. When we have had, it has been around. There's been some that has practiced this, and I would be interested to know how the children, were the children able to bond? Were there differences with the children that grew up from the different households and the sister wives and whatnot? So I relinquish the mic with that.
All right, Brother Moshe, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I know Brother Moshe wanted to say something. I will, you know, relinquish the mic to him.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Moshe.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Praise the mighty Yah is the greatest. This is very interesting. I hear brothers giving their biblical reasons why, and some was correct, and some was a little iffy, but I did a lesson on this years ago, many years ago, and I took it to elders. No one can dispute the argument that if it's the law, if it's not the law, that's not the point that I'm making. You have great men in the Bible. Praise the mighty Yah. I'm one of those men that will cut through the red tape. And I want y'all to listen real good, because it's a lot of brothers the same way. May not want to admit it, but they are the exact same way. Some brothers just desire to have more than one wife. I'm one of them. Praise the mighty Yah. If it was feasible right now, and if Yah would allow it, because he knows my heart and he knows my desires, I would gladly take more than one wife. I'll do it with open arms. I love it. Praise the mighty Yah for it. But when you start to make these, well, this, that, we go on for hours with biblical stories on who loved it and who did what, when, and why. All the men that had more than one wife weren't rich, not according to Scripture. And I read it, all of it. No, they wasn't. Some brothers, they just desire more than one wife, like the great King David, like the great King Solomon. Abraham's situation was a little different because his wife introduced him to another woman. But the scriptures say a man should seek a wife. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Abraham didn't go look for that woman. His wife brought him to him. So whoever said that, that was very incorrect. But a man, if he desires more than one wife, Yah willing, bless his heart, go do it. But in this country, it is ugly, it is wicked, it is pagan, it is made to be an evil thing. And a lot of our black women and a lot of our black men have been destroyed in the mind. And that's why 48% of the African-American women in the inner cities of America are HIV infected. At least 65% of African-American men have been to jail, prison, or have a criminal background. Domestic violence is going through the roof. No one stands with each other. Our children are running wild in the street as bastards. They don't know who their father is. Maury Porfus, that Edomite, has become a multimillionaire, exposing black women and men. You are not the father. I don't know who the daddy is, because he's practicing whoremongering. A woman is not rigged like a man. She can't be like us. So I believe I heard some woman say, well, what about if a woman want to go find another husband? That's stupid, ignorant, silly. Y'all forbid that a woman think like that, but they do. I understand that. You can't do what a man do. A woman can only have one child a year if she have twins. A man can have 50, 100 if he want to have 1,000. He could do it in a year. You're not rigged like us. Then I heard one sister say, it's two this and it's two that and it's two this and it's two that. It's 12 tribes. It's 12 tribes of Israel. It's 12. So when you go with that pair of stuff, you're just finding excuses and reasons to downplay what a beautiful thing y'all set forth for those men that choose to do it. All men can't handle more than one woman. I understand that. It's not for everybody. But y'all knows, heaven knows, and the angels above know, I'm one of the men that will admit it. I desire more than one woman. If I could do it today, I would. If I could financially take care of 20 women, I'd do it. So all of the back and forth of using scriptures and trying to sound politically correct when it comes to the scriptures, you brothers, just admit it. Hey, man, I desire more than one woman. Please, y'all, bless me with more than one wife. You know my heart, and y'all will give you what your heart desires. But when you use these little, I don't like it, but, you know, it is the Torah, it's this and that, don't do that to these sisters. Just tell her when you meet her, sister, I love you, I'm into you, but I do desire to have another wife. And if she says, I accept that, then great for you. If she says she don't, then she's not for you. But don't make excuses. And I release to Mike in the name of Yahweh. He is the greatest, and I hope you all over the world has received it. Some brothers just love it. Shalom.
Sister Yaina, can I please say something?
Hold on, you just, Sister Kavai. Brother Abraham, go ahead. You next. And then Sister Kavai. Go ahead.
Well, I'm addressing the sister who asked the question as to what is the purpose of more than one wife, and she also made the statement about more than in the scripture. See, there's a difference between polygamy and polygyny. So we just need to understand that we're not promoting polygamy, because that is multiple husbands or multiple wives. Polygyny is more than one wife. So let's get the words right so we understand what we're talking about. Now, the purpose, if you say what was the purpose, it was to preserve the family. It was to build a nation.
Mm.
So now, let's look at preserving a family. In the cultures, you know, before the European culture, when there was a war, a young man above the age of 20 could go out and fight. They would go out and fight, and men, brothers, fathers, uncles would all be killed. The surviving man would come back, and if his brother was killed, or his son was killed, or his nephew was killed, whatever, then that surviving man was now responsible to be the covering for those women that lost their husbands in battle. The man would be required to marry his brother's wife. So that she would have a covering. That's in the scriptures. So it was to preserve the family. And the brother was right. The man could father 25 children. But a woman can only have one child every 9 months. So if a man had a lot of acreage, a lot of cattle, a lot of camels, a lot of sheep, the only way for him to be able to manage that household was to have more people to work. And the way that happened was through having more children. See, so it preserved the family if a man were to get killed in battle, and it helped in the promotion of that particular group of people, that nation of people, so that they would grow and expand and rebuild and replenish the earth as what was given to Adam when he had the command. So, if a man just wants to have multiple women and he doesn't have any way to provide for them, he's out of order. You know, as my brother just said, if he could afford, he would have X. That's the key. Because you can't leave the first wife in a worse condition to go run around behind some skirts. That's out of order. If that man has enough ability both emotionally as well as financially, because it's not just about money, it's about emotional maturity. It's about spiritual maturity. Because that first wife should not be lacking in any area. She shouldn't be lacking in affection. She shouldn't be lacking in financial means. She shouldn't be lacking in any area if that man chooses to expand. That man and that woman together come together in agreement that they're going to expand that family for whatever reason. Because it's not just him. It should be them making a decision to expand, to help and provide some means for some other woman that for whatever reason is without that covering or that man or that protection or that priest, provider, and protector in her situation. So I just wanted to address that sister's questions because she said, what's the purpose? And can a woman go out and have multiple husbands? Not per our culture. Hebrew Israelite culture based on Torah forbids a woman to have multiple husbands because that would be called adultery. So if we're going to put it out there, we need to put it out there correctly based on Torah, not haphazardly. And I relinquish the mic.
All right, Kavah, go ahead. What you got to say about that?
Oh, I wanted to say, I wanted to address several things that one of the brethren has said. Talked about if you want to make the statement to the other sisters, you know, you need to make it correctly or whatever. Everybody is entitled to their opinion and their stance on the subject. Yaina and I have stated that where our stance is. Have we said that Torah condones polygamy? No, we've never said that. We know this is an issue within our culture and that people are going to live their lives this type of way. We have to have a way to manage both ways, monogamy and polygamy. But what I do want to say, and I had a brother make this statement to me before, you have some brothers that desire all of these women, and it's not based out of the need to see that a family needs to be taken care of or this person needs a covering or this child is without a father. It's not based on those mature observations. It's all based on lust. I had a brother say this to me one time. He said, Sister Kavah, he said, I'm going to show you something about some brothers. He said, this will let you know where the heart is. He said, you will have a brother that will have four wives, and he can't even remain faithful to the four. He'll still go outside of those four and go sleep around with other women. And I had never, ever heard that before until this brother told me that. I was like, wow. Never could have even imagined that this brother is still going to go outside of the four when he said he wanted four wives, he got the four wives, and yet you still can't even be faithful to the four. Amazing. So when he told me that, it really struck something in me when it comes to the realm of faithfulness. Some men don't even have one wife. Some men have had three and four different wives at different times and still don't have a wife now. Why? Because they have unfaithful souls. They don't know how to be faithful to that family and adhering to what Torah said, even in the confines of that one family. So you think Almighty Yahweh is going to allow you to go
and just go and just have a field day through all his daughters? No. He's not going to do that. Because guess what? If you are going to be that priest in that home, the head of that home, you have to adhere to the things that is outlined in scriptures as well. Just because you got a desire to have 50 wives doesn't mean that you, Yahweh is going to allow you to have 50 wives because you can't manage one. You can't manage yourself, first of all. So if you can't manage yourself, how can you manage someone else? If you can't lead yourself in discipline, in walking with Yahweh, how can you lead a family in discipline and serving Yahweh? I don't care how many scriptures you quote. I don't care how many lessons you teach. I don't care. If you can't walk out what you have talked about, the applied lesson or the applied law, if you can't apply the law to yourself, you're not going to be entrusted with nothing else. You can't even be faithful in a small thing. Yahweh will not allow you to go through and destroy other lives. You're not going to do it. So I think we have to look at this in a way, are you faithful enough to even be able to handle such a task? That's all I have to say.
And that's an opinion, and you know what, this is the beautiful part about this. We've gone into overtime, and we got one more hour left. There's area code 314. You had one push, and I want to let you on if you want to say something. I'm going to open up your mic. Area code 314, are you there? Hello?
Can you
hear
me?
We can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Hello to everyone, giving all praise and honor and glory to the Most High Yah. I find this conversation very interesting, but above all, I find the conversation is going towards the spirit of love because it's not bickering, so that lets me know we're growing, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, the word says that when we're in the outside of our land, we're supposed to pray for the peace of the land. And the law of the land, as the Almighty said, we shall go to these other lands and we shall serve our enemy and serve their gods as well. And the law of this land and serving your enemy says one wife. So if you do anything outside of that, you're out of order. And so we don't think about the consequences of our actions. But I love the Almighty's word because it gives the pros and cons of all. And it gives you wisdom. Say that a man says, okay, I want, which they're doing today. They're going out here, they're getting with more than one woman, they're getting five, six, seven women, got babies by all of them, not taking care of any. Well, the word says he's supposed to provide for his family and his children. So many sisters are by themselves today because our men are doing other things. We all know that. And there is a shortage of our men. But if you were to marry one woman by law, by this man's law, then that's all you're allowed to have anyway. Now, you can have another woman with agreement. She come up in your house. But according to the law of Yah, you're supposed to provide equally for every wife that you have. That's his law. And secondly, if you, in this land, if you don't use this man's law and you go out there and you get you three or four women and you got babies by all of them, guess what? Unless you make a will, they can't get none of your benefits. That's law, too. So we have to be wise. And of course, I love the statement that Arthur Hum gave, that back in the day, they had multiple wives because they were trying to build a nation. If we were to give as much energy to going out there and gathering our babies that don't nobody else want, we got more than enough babies to build a nation now. But if we were to give as much energy toward going and giving our, getting our, gathering our children that have been wronged by the system, wronged by the parents, wronged, period,
go gather our babies and started providing for them, it wouldn't give us much room to be talking about how many wives we can have.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, there's many things we can do in righteousness for this nation, and that's what Yah is asking of us to do.
Yes.
For this nation, to build a righteous nation.
Yes.
And many times over, the brothers are not dealing in with law. We're all, for one thing, we're all filthy.
Yes.
And I heard someone say that the book is patriotic. We really don't know that. Because the only thing we know is what the patriotic society, the Western society, chose to put in that book.
That's
ooh,
so true. That's so true. And would we want to still follow the book if we found out that they flipped it around and actually, you know, because in some parts of Africa, and I apologize, email, for cutting you off, but
there are women that have multiple husbands.
Right, in some parts of Africa. And if we were to find out, in this process of growth and truth, that they flipped this book all around and made it to seem to be patriotic because they were actually that way. Because it was white women that needed to be liberated. You know, black women didn't need to be liberated. Like the brother said, Proverbs 31, sister had it going on. She had many hats she wore. Many hats.
That's right.
So if we find out the truth, would be able to digest, swallow polygamy as easy as we can swallow polygyny, and there is a difference.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Because guess what? Guess what? If I was allowed to have more than one husband, how many of you men on the line would be able to come into my house if I could provide for all of the husbands and everybody submit unto me? It would be a totally different ball game. But because it's us girls and because it's the women and the women are supposed to submit, it's a different ball game. But I'm glad, you know, Ema's on the line, and we appreciate your opinion and, you know, according to the word. Hello?
I wasn't finished, and I'm going to be finished with this if I will be allowed to finish up.
Yes,
you know, the word
says,
and that also, the word says, in that day I'm going to do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use the woman to encompass the man.
Yes,
so what does that mean? You see, so we have to be mindful. First of all, we've got to get our hearts right.
Yes.
And if the word says in Deuteronomy, as well as in 1 Kings, when we're in these lands of our captivity, and we go and seek Yah with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, we shall find him. And the wonderful thing about that is once we find him, we can listen to what he has to say, and he will guide and direct us. We are so messed up right now as a people. If we are mindful of the word as we have it, our whole premises should be coming together, ourselves together, so that we can return back to our land, because according to the word of Yah, Ezekiel 28 chapter, starting with verse 40, the word says, there in the land will he require everything from us. You see? So right now, we need to be trying to get ourselves clean to the best of our ability, because again, according to Ezekiel 36 chapter, the Almighty says, when he returns us to the land, then he will sprinkle some clean water upon us, cleansing us from all our filthiness and from all of our idols. We're outside of our land. We're outside of our culture. We don't have nobody in place. The majority of our people still serving these other deities, and the majority of our people don't even understand nation. They can't get past organization. So if you want more than one wife, there's plenty of sisters out there, got all kind of babies. Go out there and help them. They need help. You see, we don't need no more babies. We got plenty of babies. Go out there and help some of these sisters that are struggling by themselves. And with that, I relinquish the mic, giving y'all the glory.
My phone is up. My phone's about to die, so I just wanted to say one thing before I get cut off. In conclusion, I just wanted to say that, you know, you're right about that. I just wanted to say that that was a wonderful statement, and you're right about that. You know, unfortunately, being on the panel, I didn't choose the topic So, you know, I wouldn't have chose the topic of multiple marriages, but because it was presented, I thought it was something that, you know, I'll go ahead and speak on. What I would like to say also is that, you know, as far as the situation with the different ideas of, you know, what if it was more than one husband or and whatever, because I was the one that made the comment about being patriarchal and things of that nature. However, you know, like I said, I know that always conjures up dark clouds and things like that. But ultimately, if you do look at it, just like I said with Proverbs 31, women did play a very, very, very important role in the household. So saying patriarchal doesn't mean that the woman is not respected or the woman is not, you know, treated in a respectful manner. It just means that when it comes to certain things, that there were men doing certain things and that there were women doing certain things. You know, that's that. Also, I just wanted to also say still is that just like Brother Moshe, I mean, you know, it's something that, like I said, it's going to be hard to practice here in America. And, you know, for those people who are Hebrews or different beliefs and whatever, you know, this is not what being Hebrew is about, is trying to figure right. out, you know, how to have more than one wife, that type of thing. Those are very, very advanced subjects. And they're not for laymen. It's not something that laymen should be trying to incorporate or trying to talk about and do those things. There's something that somebody should be very established in their walk first before even trying to get married, let alone trying to have a multiple marriage. So I want to caution all those people who are listening who may be Christians or maybe Christians, or even those people who are Hebrews and new to it, now that you've got a conversation, don't try to run out and implement it, because you can get yourself in very big trouble, not only with the law here in America, but, you know, with the idea of broken families at the end of the day. I also like to just say that, you know, once again, we have to go back to nation building. And why I keep saying that is because to build a nation, before you can build a nation, there have to be individuals that have to be built. Monogamy, polygyny, you know, either way, that's also up to the person or up to the people involved. But what has to happen is we have to come back to building individual people first. We have to get ourselves right before we can enter into any relationships, because if our relationship with the Most High is not right, it doesn't matter if you're having a relationship with your brother, that relationship's going to be off. It doesn't matter if you're going to have a relationship with your mother, that relationship's going to be off. Your sons, your daughters, your wife, your friends, everything is going to be off unless you get the relationship with the Most High right first. And so as we focus on that, then all of these other things that, you know, can cause bickering and can cause fighting and can cause arguing, those things will fall off the map, because with the Most High as the center of you, then anybody coming into your circumference will have that same center, and then that person will automatically be in harmony with you and you with them. And that means if it's one person, two people, or 20. So with that, I'll just relinquish the mic, and I enjoyed the conversation today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Brother.
Anyone else have a comment?
Get back to nation building. Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know what? When we say nation building, we have to understand that, you know, to build a nation, that's what we're doing. And when people come into the nation, because like the sister that asked the question, what is the purpose? She's a pastor. She is a Christian pastor, and it's important because if people are on the fence and they're about to come into this nation, and these are the things that they see, which they label us as a cult because of the multiple marriages. Because as I began to come out of Christianity, I had one of my Christian friends that's a prophet tell me, he said out of his mouth, "I know the direction that you're going in." And I remember our conversation distinctly. He said, "I know the direction that you're going in, and I would advise you to steer clear of those people." And my response to him was, "What do you mean, those people?" He said, "Because those people believe in multiple wives. Those people believe they can have as many wives as they want. They believe this, they believe that, and it's nothing but a cult." So we have to have these types of conversations. Like Iman said, maturely and advancedly to the point where so we can let the people know we're not a cult, that this was a part of a culture of a people another side of the culture that did not practice the same thing. And it doesn't mean that we're strange and that we're weird and that we're doing some crazy things, because he told me, stay away from them. I know where you're going. And my response was, I have the right to know who I am, and right. I'm going into this with my eyes wide open.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we kind of skimmed over for a minute, and you're absolutely right. There's more monogamous marriages within the Hebrew family than there are polygyny relationships, in truth. So that's definitely not a reason to not return unto Yah, to your creator. But when we talk about what's going on in society today, and particularly, and not just in the church. I mean, you have pastors, of course, we all know, that have a wife, first lady, but then they have several women in the congregation. So it's really about being honorable and not doing anything that you think you can hide from your sisters and brothers, but the Most High see, then, you know, you need to be correct about how you govern yourself and what you do. So I think
let me ask you this question. What about the young men that have babies all over the place? Because just like Iman said, you got young men that got babies by 3-4 different women. Then does that, because he's going to have to, I don't know how that situation is going to work out, because then.
Let's say this, according to scriptures, my understanding, and I've been in this way of life for a little over 35 years, but my studies have shown me that when there was a marriage and there was a family, if there was a breakup, if there was a divorce, the wife left, the children never left. So when
right.
we talk about healing our nation, we really need to be promoting our young men retaining custody of their children. I think there's so many young daughters using their children as pawns and negotiation tools, and maybe perhaps it wouldn't be so many fathers being infidels and not taking care of their children. So we're doing things a lot backwards than what the scripture says we should do. So I think that all the young brothers, we need to be promoting with our daughters and our sons that I don't care how many children they got scattered around, they need to be attending to each and every one of them. And I think it would be more ideal that they retain custody of them.
Beautiful.
You want to put that on a website somewhere?
I'll stand on a platform and tell it. That's beautiful.
Tamar, you can put all of that on YahWillGather.us. I will put it up there myself. Hallelujah.
Yeah. I just want to say one other thing, too, and that is the sister that was a pastor, I hope she didn't run away just yet, but if she's still on, I want her to understand that being an Israelite is not no religion. It's not an organization. It's not a camp or a belief. Israel is a people. We, to put it as the scriptures describe us, we're the people of the captivity. We're the ones that Yah laid those judgments on in Deuteronomy 28, and he told our forefathers ahead of time that if they disobeyed, that we would be scattered throughout the earth via slave ships. And we're the people of the captivity. And also there's many ways that describe us in these latter days. He said Israel will no longer be known as Israelites. They will become a byword. We've already fulfilled that prophecy. We've been known anything from niggas to African Americans and colors and blacks and host of other names. There's other names throughout other lands that is equivalent for nigger, like Kaifa over in South Africa and Cushy in the land and Swazi in Germany. There's a name for us, equivalent for us, wherever we were scattered to. So most of our people, we've been conditioned to think that being an Israelite is a new form of religion or a movement. It's not. The Almighty said in these latter days, when he returned these things to our remembrance. So it's the Almighty Spirit that's awakening his people, not just here. We're awakening all over the globe to once again become the nation of Israel, as Yah promised. So, therefore, don't want you to run away with a wrong understanding. And being multiple wives is part of our culture, and we're discussing things that bring us back to our overstanding of self, overstanding of our culture, overstanding of who we were before we were made Negroes and colors and African Americans. I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Also, anybody else have a comment? You go ahead, please.
Shalom. This is Abraham one more time. I want to applaud the family. I want to applaud Israel because we've grown. The fact that we can have this conversation without folk getting cussed out and getting all beside themselves, and we can have an intelligent conversation, we can consider the matter, is epic. It's huge. So I want to commend everybody on the call for the growth and the maturity that has been displayed here today. Shalom, and I release the mic.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, like I said, it's a very important topic. Everything is important when it comes to our nation because the lady, the pastor, she's actually an apostle. She is, her and her husband both, she's gone, but she's very much aware of who we are. And like I said, there's a lot of people out there that are slowly, and when I tell you slowly, I mean slowly watching from a distance and slowly making transitions and slowly moving into this thing. And as they slowly come into this, these are the barriers that they're going to hit up against and say, whoa, wait a minute, this is not what I'm used to. What is this? So these conversations are important because, like I said, nobody's, you know, everybody's entitled to choose what they choose to do. And that this is what, as a nation, this is what has been done as a nation. So, I mean, you know, and it all boils down to love. I mean, from my opinion, and it's just, this is what I choose for myself. I choose one man. I want one man. I want him to be my man, and that's just how it is. I believe that, that you can only really love one person. I mean, really, I could be wrong, but I mean, you know, but if you guys are able to do that and you can love the both of the women equally and that's something that you can handle, you know, I can't knock it if that's what you choose to do. But for us over here on this side, I don't want that. I'm not interested in that at all. But it's not to say that it's wrong, and I'm not knocking anybody for what they do. It's just what we do. So, you know, like I said, I was warned. I mean, he was very stern about that. He said, I know the direction you're going in. He said, but I'm going to tell you something. That's a cult, and don't have anything to do with those people. Now, I can go back to him now and say, you're wrong. They're not a cult. You're a part of these people, too. And because of the knowledge that I have, I can explain to him the culturistic part of it. And the fact that you have one wife and this man has three, it's an individual choice. I can do that now. So I appreciate the fact of you guys even being in my life to learn these things because I was willing to learn.
Hallelujah.
Again, we have people on the line. If you want to say something, please push 1. Kavai, you have anything else you want to say?
Yes, I do. What I do want to say is that where you get a lot of the obstinance and the resistance, because a lot of people feel like, some of the brethren, I guess, feel like we as sistren are trying to just kill the whole idea of having a multi-family. And like I said before, my stance is I choose not that. I'm not for that lifestyle for myself. And I would dare not go into a lifestyle where you have a wife that is already there, and then I'm going to come in as a second wife. I just don't want to be second fiddle to nobody. But a lot of the problems come in is that a lot of the brethren that I've seen that deal in this area of polygyny and bring this multi-wife thing to another sister, a lot of them push this lifestyle off onto other sisters as if it is mandatory. That's the problem I have. They push it off onto other sisters as if you have to be a second wife, or you have to be a third wife, or you have to be a fourth wife, and you don't have no choice about it. when that's flat out a lie. And I know
that's
a lie.
That is a lie.
So I've seen this, and let me finish what I got to say, and I'm gonna let Imar and Sister Tamar, whoever want to say, you know, say what they have to say. But I've seen this, and I've heard the stories. I've heard women call me crying and telling me the stories of how their husbands invited another wife into the family, and they found out by looking at an email or the woman showing up at the door. I mean, crazy crap. And then we wonder why you have so many people, so many women that say, look, I'll just be single. It'll just be me and my kids. I'm straight with the Most High Yahweh, you know, because of the mindset of a lot of these brethren who are driven. And I say this with all sincerity, what I believe, that they are driven by lust and not by the Ruach. So when you push this idea off on the sisters and tell them that you have to be a second wife or you have to be a third wife or you have to do polygamy, it's a mess. I mean, I've seen one sister, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to be quiet, one sister that I know personally got into a polygamous relationship with the person that she got into a polygamous relationship with, multi-wife relationship with, he is the head of a huge congregation. I won't say his name. I won't name the congregation. None of that. And she's in one state. Now, I'm not talking about living in one house and the other house and y'all in the same city. This sister is in one state, and he's in his state with his first wife, and the other sister is in a whole other state. So you have a problem because now he is the first wife, didn't even know that he was bringing the second wife in, and the second wife thinking the first wife knew, and he's flying over here to see her. And then when this second wife start acting up, because now he's being stretched because she got bills, he got bills with this wife and their children. She has children, and she's in a whole other state. She needs things. It was a hot mess. I mean, a hot, stinking mess. And I felt so bad for that sister because she said, now, how do I get out of this? I made a covenant with this man. How do I get out of this? And it was a mess. So she stands before Almighty Yahweh and make a covenant, even though there's nothing on paper, you know, other than, I guess, something about a power of attorney, because I didn't even know how all the stuff worked. Power of attorney, where she'll have, you know, I guess stuff given to her if something happened to him. I mean, it just was a mess. So she felt like she didn't even have another. I want to get married, Kavah. I want a husband, Kavah. I want to be loved, Kavah. But yet, it's not done right. It's not even Almighty Yahweh, and even in the midst of all that confusion, that's a hot mess. So when this is pushed off on the sisters like you have to do it, I have a huge issue with that because that's a lie. And I'll be the first one to tell the sisters, he's lying, he's a liar, and let's open the book together and let me show you how it's not mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's all I have to say.
If I could say something here, spirit is always the best teacher, and I've always lived by the understanding, and I've taught my children that if you can learn from someone else's experience, then you don't have to repeat it. And that is incorrect because even if he was never married to anyone, any husband come, you have the right to choose whether or not you would go with him. You don't have to marry anyone. And also, you know, experience-wise, I knew a situation where a young man, they were fell in love. They were a couple, kids, sweethearts, came into knowledge together, and she was a virgin. They loved one another, and they was married for quite some time. And he had always fantasized about, well, I'm going to get a second wife, get a second wife. The sister was very clear, no, I don't want you to have another second wife. I don't want you to have a second wife. I'm not going to agree with that. And unfortunately, he didn't adhere to it, and he was a good brother.
he didn't adhere to it, and he really, he lost relationship with the Most High when he took on a second wife, because the first wife did not adhere to it. She ended up divorcing him and marrying someone else, and right to this day, that brother has never been the same. It really rocked his foundation. So I think that you're right in that there are some wrong motives behind at the root of why sometimes a man will take on a second wife, but I think definitely women need to know that they don't have to be in a polygamy relationship. They don't even have to stay with that one husband if he's not doing the things according to the Torah that the Most High said a husband is to do. And so we do have rights also, and we can say no.
And there are options, and that's what the show is all about. It's about letting Israel know there's options. You know, nothing is written in stone, and that's what we're trying to bring across today, to let you know there are options, and you don't have to be in a relationship with multiple wives. You can have a husband and have you and your husband, and you can love each other. And if that works with multiple wives and everybody loves each other, that's fine, too, if that works. You know, and, you know, it's just a situation where when you deal with women and feelings and emotions, because we women are emotional creatures. We are emotional by nature. It's our emotions. And to me, when you have a man that you really love and somebody that you love, to watch him go love somebody else, I mean, that's a lot to swallow. I mean, that's the part I don't get, but I guess it's not for me to get because it's not for me. So, you know, those are the things that I have issues with and that I have to look at and say, when I counsel someone or someone comes to me and say, Yaina, you know, what should I do? I would have to refer those people to people who have done this if that's what that person wants to do, because I can't, in all consciousness, say, well, you know, try it out and see, because I don't see it working. I don't see that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't see that. I don't see that working, you know, in terms of emotions, because somebody's going to go lacking. I mean, there's no way that one man can satisfy two women emotionally at the same time, and everybody's satisfied, because, like you said, Kavon, if she lives in a different state and he's flying over here and he's with her 6 months and he's with her 6 months, somebody's going to be alone. Just naturally somebody's going to be alone. Mm-hmm. And even though the money is there, that man's presence is still not there, somebody's going to lack either way it goes. And then if they're in the same house together, how do you get past the... And I'm just asking this from my own point of view. And, you know, if they're living in the same house together, how do you separate the intimacy? So, I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, you know, but explain it to me if somebody can, because, I mean, I don't understand that one.
But here also, Sister Yaina, I want to bring this to the table as well, because most of the time when you look at a lot of the brothers talk about bringing on a second wife or third wife or whatever the case may be, most of the time, they're bringing on women that are young and beautiful and strong and this, that, and the other. You know, you never hear about a brother that's going to take a wife that may have a disability. She may be in a wheelchair, or she might have some other issues going on. You'll never hear that. You know, brothers talk about, the scripture talks about in Isaiah that seven women is going to grab the hold of the skirt of one man and say, can we be called by your name? We'll provide for our own self. Just let us be called by your name. But, you know, and they'll use that as an excuse. And I can have me seven women. I'm going to have seven women in the kingdom and this, that, and the other. But what if seven of those women is 50 years, you 35-year-old. What if one of those women is a 55-year-old? What if one is 60? What if one is an 80-year-old? Because we got a lot of widows, and widows don't necessarily mean that your husband is dead. Because I can show you a scripture where King David put away some of his wives, and they said their widowhood, he never went back into them. They were considered widows even though he was still alive. So they don't think about all of that.
You might find a young man that might take a cougar. You might say what, and she might bring some maturity and wisdom.
Yeah,
but I'm saying I'm not even just dealing with the fact that she's older. I'm dealing with the fact, okay, she may be older, but what if she's in a wheelchair? She may be older, she has a disability, or she has this, and she has that. Okay, we're dealing with the issues now. She got physical challenges. What about that?
You know, I think Abraham mentioned earlier, according to the law, no other wife is supposed to come into play unless that's the desire of the first wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just wisdom. If you got a wife and she's saying, I don't want no other woman up in my household, and I don't want you laying with another woman because I don't know how clean she is or if she's clean at all. I don't know what's driving for that. It's probably your lust, and you don't care what you dip it in. But see, you want to come back and dip it in. That's not going to happen. Okay? So therefore, for him to ignore the first wife's plea and go out there and get one because of his lust or whatever reason he chose to get one, then he's bringing discord into his own household.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty is not about confusion.
Right.
And that's about confusion, you see. Not only that, as I said, we're in an unclean state right now. And what about the children? What effect is, and I'm telling you what I've seen. I've seen children of these multiple wives, and they grew up, they are hot mess. They're all confused, you see, because for the most part, the men are not working. The women are taking care of the man. And he feels like it's his job to get up there and just, you know, and some of them on welfare, some of them on food stamps. This is not of Yah.
Yeah.
It's just not. So, therefore, the Almighty gave us his law is full of checks and balances. And the only way you're going to have more than one wife in this land, that's called bigamy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you and therefore, if you choose to marry one woman and bring another woman in, guess what? It's still not fair because that first wife, who's legally by this man's law married to you, she can make it where the second woman don't get a dime if anything happens.
Right, and that's a problem. That's not of Yah.
It's all kind of check and balances out there to let you know if we're right or if we're wrong. And the Almighty is about raising a righteous nation once again.
Yes.
What we have had so far, I've seen a couple of marriages where there's multiple wives. And guess what? There was no children involved. The children were grown. These women came together late in life. But then that was a hassle, too, because one said that one was doing more than the other and they wasn't pooling, they shared. It was just became a hot mess. You can't get righteousness out of unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we're in an unrighteous state. And we are here talking about we're going to get multiple wives, and if the man come down on us, guess what? Now we're going to jail.
So maybe it just should not even be done in our captivity state. Maybe we better get out here and heal this nation and clean up these broken down brothers so us sisters can have a husband.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that.
What we need to do is the word says in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, we need to give Yah no rest until he restored Jerusalem.
Yes, hallelujah.
We should give him no rest, and we should be crying out daily to him, asking that he forgive us, bring us back into the bond of the covenant, and return us back to our homeland. That's where we have power And the word tells us that over and over and over again. But we've become fat and waxing rich over here. And we kick hard against the pricks. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to go, because then we really got to do that thing right, you see.
Yeah.
But over, this is just our last word. We're in this land. You can go out there, you can have what's taking place right now. Our brothers are having all kind of women, getting all babies, what do they call them, wives, concubines, or what do they just call them, they straight out love nests, whatever they want to call them. They got plenty of them, dropping babies everywhere. Can't take care of the woman because they can't take care of themselves, you see. So we got a lot of healing to do.
A lot of healing to do. A lot of healing. And in the process, we need to not be ugly about it. We need to just pursue peace. Don't enter in anything that you don't have peace. You can feel the vibration. You know if it's not right.
Absolutely. And if you about righteousness, you should be seeking Yah on the matter anyway.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's true.
And words of wise woman, words from our elder, you know, someone that has lived life, you know, and it's very important. It's very important to listen to our elders, because I just believe that you can only love one person. I just believe you can only be in love with one person. I mean, I just, when it's real, it's only one person. I mean, it brings you back to the garden. When you go through the garden principle, it was two people that he put together. And, you know, you can be, like Kabbalah said, you can be in lust with different people and be together with different people for different reasons. But I just believe you can only really love one person.
Well, the word says he was going to give man a help meet. He didn't say, I'm going to give you help mates.
That's right. That's true.
What does that mean? Someone to help you to meet your obligations to the Most High, or to help you to meet your duties as man on the earth? What does that mean?
Well,
I tell you what, one of the sister that gave the parable of two arms and two legs and whatever, Almighty didn't say it takes three to make one either.
That's right.
Absolutely. Right. Mm. But it's all good. And it's a beautiful thing that Israel is able to start, have begun to be able to even sit down and speak kindly with one another, you know, because we are, it just goes to show that we're diligently seeking Yah and trying to find out what is it that we should be doing, you see, and knowing and admitting that we don't have all the answers. So let us come together and reason with one another. And that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I want to reiterate Psalms 24, 1 and 2, I believe it is. The heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof belong unto Yah. So just as a reminder that we are to treat each other with love and care, because you my sister, but you belong unto Yah. I'm your sister, I belong unto Yah. So I don't want to mistreat you. Don't mistreat me.
I think we all love each other on this show. I mean, I don't think that's the issue. Love is never the issue, you know. But when we can come together, Messianics and non-Messianics, and sit down and have a conversation like this, like Brother Abraham said, this is huge, you know, because we're not arguing, we're not fighting, we're really reasoning together, and we're giving our opinions and our and the way we think and what we're doing. And it's been a very good experience for me. I mean, I haven't had a bad experience as a Hebrew Israelite yet. I mean, you know, I've been told that I'm going to run into some of the rough brothers, and I hope that when I do, that there's enough love in me where they'll understand there's no need for it, you know, because
We're not to challenge each other. We're to uphold each other and respect each other. So I don't know. I mean, you know, Kavai, you got anything you want to say? We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to give everybody a chance to say something, and then we're going to wrap it up, and I guess we'll just close down.
I just want to say that we shouldn't mistake our passion for a lack of love, because we are passionate people. We express ourselves passionately. I'm a very, very passionate person, and that's just the way I'm built. Doesn't mean I don't love my brothers and my sisters. It's just I'm passionate about what I believe. I'm passionate about my stance. I'm passionate about what I have to say. But it does not mean that that in my passion that I'm going to disrespect you, that in my passion that I'm not going to love you. None of those things. It just means that I'm passionate and I have a stance, I have a voice, and I'm just passionate about the way I express it.
Hallelujah. Sister Tamar, you got something you want to say? We're going to go down the panel.
Hallelujah. Toda Yah. May Yah's will be done, and may he arise and judge us all and fix us up and do his will. Hallelujah.
Imar, you have something you want to say?
Yes, I do. That sister that just spoke about the passion, I understand thoroughly because I am very passionate when it comes to y'all and our people, very passionate. And sometimes it sounds as if I'm angry. I'm not. It's just that I love you so much, so I speak passionately. And I just want to leave this thought with everyone. I've searched the scriptures, and I've searched the scriptures. And you know what? To show you how simple our plight is, I have yet to find in there where y'all said, I'm sending a messianic and a non-messianic into captivity. I saw it in there where you said, I'm sending a nation into captivity.
Hallelujah.
I love that.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Abraham, you got something you want to say? We're going down the panel.
Shalom, shalom. I want to say that we have grown enormously as a people, and we're coming together as a nation in spite of ourselves, in spite of our differences. I can see the nation being built. In reference to that, there was a conference call that's going to be held at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That I would, in reference to us reaching out as a nation and putting all 50 states on notice, if anyone is on this call would like to participate, you can call in at 7 o'clock at 712-432-0075. That number again is 712-432-0075.
Is there a code, my brother?
Code number is 970-736. And what we're looking for is some people all over the nation, all over the United States, all 50 states. We're putting all 50 states on notice. It's called a judicial notice and proclamation of who we are, that we are a nation of people, that we are a sovereign, autonomous nation state, you know, a government in exile, that we're going to operate as a government, and we're going to provide marriage certificates and marriage contracts and birth certificates and a right to travel cards and, you know, license plates for vehicles, everything that you can get from this nation, you'll be able to, and I mean, when I say this, from the United States of America, you would be able to get from the United Nation of Israel. And o'clock this evening, approximately 30 minutes, 40 minutes from now, on that conference bridge number that was just given, we're asking for Israel to come together to put the United States on notice. There we go. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Could you please give them your website address, too?
Okay, the website address is www.yahwillgather.us. That's YAHWILLGATHER.US. or .org, either one will work, and that's how you get to the website. And the conference bridge number is on the website as well. So that's the website, and again, the conference is tonight at 7 o'clock in reference to reaching out, and we'll give you all the details at that time. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, everybody, I think that's it, everybody. I'm sorry, go ahead, who?
That was Kavai. I just wanted to encourage as many people as we could to get on that call because we have some powerful things that is happening in the nation, and you just would not believe what is transpiring, what is happening behind the scenes. So I want to just encourage as many people to please call in.
All right, all right. I think that we have quite a few callers still on the line. If you guys want to say something, shalom, we love you, whatever, push one. We still got a few more minutes. If not, we're going to give you about 15 seconds to push one so you can say something. If you don't want to say something, we hope that you have enjoyed this edition of the Yehuda Project and how we handled ourselves and how we carried ourselves as brothers and sisters, and that we love each other and we're just trying to restore that which was lost. And we love you very much, and we thank you so much for all of the difficulties that we had in the beginning and how everybody just repositioned themselves and then came back to the show. That just shows love. We want to let you know if you're interested in receiving our newsletter, please email us at nationofyehuda, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at yahoo.com, and we will send you out all of the newsletters that we've sent. If you're interested in registering for the 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address, I would advise you not to miss it. As Kavai said, there's going to be some fantastic things done. You're going to get some information about this nation that's going to blow your mind, how Yahweh is building it and bringing it together, and the people that he's involved in, and how he's connecting us internationally. It's mind-blowing. So please register as soon as possible. And we look forward to you all. And please get on the conference call. And we want to say to everybody, shalom, shalom. We love you. And we'll
shalom,
see you next week.
Shalom, everyone. Love you.
Shalom, shalom, we love you, bye-bye.